I've talked often on this show about how I am a poker player. Started playing long before the World Poker Tour and the internet turned poker into the massively popular game it is. The last 3 years have just been unbelievable for those of us who've been playing poker in home games or in casino card rooms for a long time. This month has been the big month for the World Series of Poker out in Las Vegas. 41 or 42 different events going on, all leading up to the main event, which will culminate today. There are 27 players left vying for the $7.5 million grand prize. Everybody who gets to the final table, the top nine, will become an instant millionaire, because that's the minimum prize for just getting to the final table. All of this will turn into regular Tuesday night programming for ESPN beginning next week and continuing, believe it or not, all the way through November, when they will televise that final table after all the weeks and weeks of building up to that. One of the people who you may end up seeing on TV is my next guest. His name is Ken Adams. And no, you won't see him at the final table because he busted out on day two of the World Series of Poker. But he was one of the 5,619 people who entered into this thing more than a week ago and joins me now here on KMOX. Hi, Ken.
Hello. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just fine. I should also point out that Ken has been writing about his World Series of Poker experiences for CBSNews.com, and I've been reading those and smiling along as a poker player would, seeing some of the situations that you've written about there. Was this the first time you played in the main event?
No, it's the second time. I played 2 years ago after winning a seat in a satellite event.
And is that how you got in this time as well?
No, this year was a little different. For the first time, I had backers, as they are called in the poker industry, really just a group of my friends who knew that I wasn't about to invest that kind of money in a card game. And they put together a war chest and funded my entry in return for 50% of my winnings.
Wow.
Which, of course, have not worked out so well for them this year, but they enjoyed living the dream with me through my reports.
Did you only play in the main event or other parts of the World Series of Poker as well?
I played in a total of four events, as well as a bunch of single-table satellites.
And did you end up in the money in any of them?
In a number of the satellites, but not in any of the four events, no.
So none of your backers is going to be seeing a return on their investment?
Not yet, but there's we're still alive. We have one race left to run. In another local charity tournament in the spring, I won a seat in the championship, the World Poker Tour Championship event in the Bahamas in January. So they're involved. I put that in the portfolio. So if I win anything in that, they get a share of that as well.
Okay. Now, set the scene for me. You know, with 5,600 contestants, it had to be an absolute madhouse when this thing started up a week ago. Set the scene for me.
Particularly for those of us who've been going to the World Series for a long time, it was just beyond imagination. I mean, the World Series of Poker used to be a sleepy little family event held in a small room in an old downtown Las Vegas casino, really a cowboy joint.
The Binion's Horseshoe.
Binion's Horseshoe. Very few people knew about it. You kind of didn't tell people you were going to it because it wasn't really viewed with particular favor or approbation.
Oh, I remember the old days where if you played poker a lot, people would look down on
That's
you.
Right.
What do you mean you play poker?
And this year, I walk into the Rio, which is owned by Harrah's. The event is held in their convention facility. The poker room is larger than a football field. They've got 200 tables arrayed, all of them filled with players. It was beyond belief. And in the football field size convention area across the hall was 50, 75 booths of vendors selling everything you can imagine that's related to poker, software, hardware, shirts, hats, dining room sets.
Wow.
It was astounding for the difference that television and the internet have brought about.
And there are also poker stars now. People have gotten to know names, not just like Greg Raymer, the fossil man who won it last year, and Chris Moneymaker, who won it a couple of years ago and also deserves some of the credit for the explosion in poker with that unlikely name taking the World Series of Poker. But also other people who we could recognize from watching things like the World Poker Tour and the World Series of Poker on television for the last couple of years. Did you run into some of these guys and women?
Absolutely, and not only the new rock stars of poker, but of course you now have people who are stars in other arenas who are playing the game. I found myself in situations that were a little awkward. At one point, I was sitting at a table playing, and the cameras came swooping down on the table next to me, and they were clearly focused on a woman with blonde hair who I assumed was a celebrity, but not being a reader of People magazine, I usually rely on my daughters to fill me in on these things, and they weren't there. So I asked around the people at my table, who's that, and was told it was Nicole Richie. Those sorts of things kept happening. It was rather disconcerting. I was on day one of the championship event. I was playing next to a gentleman on my right who seemed like a quiet man about my age. I'm almost 60. He was well dressed, well manicured, well spoken, pretty quiet. Through the usual chit-chat, I determined that he was in the talent business, was the way he put it. I asked him if he was in Los Angeles, because I know some lawyers who operate in the talent business in Los Angeles. He said, no, here in Las Vegas. Well, after a while, he was all in a hand, and the cameras came swooping around, and I thought they were just covering an all-in situation, but it turned out, when he lost the hand and left, somebody else at the table told me, well, that was Celine Dion's husband.
Ah!
So you ran into situations like that you'd never used to run into. I mean, Doyle Brunson, who, of course, as you know, is one of the great-grandfathers of No Limit Hold'em, I felt badly for him on one hand because he was just constantly beset by people wanting his autograph, wanting their picture taken with him. On the other hand, of course, it's lovely to see that someone who has given so much to the game for so many years, most of it at a time when he got little public attention or approval, is now enjoying this sort of star status. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah. Doyle Brunson, the guy who literally wrote the book on poker, a great book called Super System, which he just updated and released again this year. Terrific book. Speaking of autographs, I read one of your columns on CBSNews.com, Ken, in which you got an autograph, and it turned out to be kind of an awkward situation. Would you tell that story?
Well, if you insist.
I do.
Well, again, it's difficult to envision this scene. You've got almost 2,000 of us playing in one room, huge room. And every 2 hours, they call a 15-minute bathroom break. So you've now got 2,000 people crowded into one corridor trying to get to the bathrooms. And, of course, the first set of bathrooms you get to, you can forget about it. By the time you get there, the line is too long, and you won't get through the line and back to your seat. So everybody races ahead up the corridor as fast as the crowd will allow them to move to the next set and the next set until you finally get to a bathroom without a line. So it's a stressful situation. You're trying to get through the crowd, get to the bathroom, and get back to your seat without missing any hands. Not a time generally when you would approach someone for conversation, let alone an autograph, but I saw just ahead of me in this crush of people, Chris Ferguson, whose nickname is Jesus, one of the top players in the world, former world champion, and Clonie Gowan, who is regarded as one of the top women players in the game.
And probably the most beautiful poker player in the world.
Well, my wife is probably listening to this broadcast, so I'll leave that to you.
Okay.
She certainly does attract a lot of attention.
Yes.
Not only for her excellent poker play.
Yes.
So I knew I had Chris's signature already on this shirt that I was collecting poker player signatures on to give to a friend. But I didn't know whether I had Clonie's signature or not, and I wanted to get it. So I pushed ahead in the crowd, tapped her on the shoulder, apologized for intruding at such an awkward time, but I said I would really appreciate it if you would sign the shirt, my shirt for me. And she was very gracious and said, of course. And I reach into the backpack, which is on my back, and I pull out what I thought was the shirt. I felt fabric. I pulled it out, and she got this look in her face, a look that said, "What are you, some kind of a freak?" And I realized that it's a pair of underwear that I had put in my backpack for changing into during the dinner break when I planned to shower in a friend's room.
Yeah,
and I quickly stuffed it back in the backpack and found the shirt, and we straightened that out. But it was it brought back all those painful memories of pre-adolescence when you finally get up your courage to approach the pretty girl across the room, and you stumble and fall and slink away in humiliation, you know?
Yeah, and later on that night, Clonie Gowan was telling that story from the other side. So this guy comes up to me with his underwear, and it was you, Ken. So this was not your first time playing in the main event, and as you said, you've been going to the World Series of Poker for a long time. time. Did any of that help you with strategy along the way as you got down to this massive number of people, largest number of people who've ever played in the main event at the World Series before? Did you have any kind of strategy going in?
Yeah, my strategy was to play my best poker and to try to do my best to get my chips in the pot only when I was a favorite, and that's all you can control. If the cards are cruel to you and people with lesser hands outdraw you, there's nothing you can do about it. I would say the things I did that were most helpful to me in preparing were to go back through the poker books that I find the most helpful in terms of tournament strategy. Dan Harrington's is probably today the absolute best. T.J. Cloutier and Tom McAvoy's work, earlier work, is also very helpful, I find. So I go through my notes from those books. I go through my past tournament results and the hands that I played to remind myself of the mistakes I've made in the past and try not to make the same ones every year. And most important of all, this year, in March, I treated myself to 3 days of poker camp. It's like a baseball fantasy camp or any other fantasy camp. It's a three-day clinic run by the top poker stars, Chris Ferguson and Cloney Gowan among them, Howard Letter, Annie Duke, Eric Seidel, Andy Block, and it was fabulous. I talked to them during this event and thanked them again, particularly Phil Gordon, who was an exceptional teacher. And I told all of them that there was no way I was be playing at the level I was playing at in the World Series without the instruction I got from them. It was first rate.
Well, that's great. So
that really elevated my game. And then, of course, I have friends at home who are first top-level poker tournament players. Russell Rosenblum, who made it to the final table of the World Series a few years ago. Matt Matros, both of them made it to the final table of the WPT Championship last year. And, you know, I spend as much time as I can just talking hand strategy and analysis with them, and that's another way to improve your game.
Now, after getting advice from the pros, did you actually play any hands against any of these pros? Any names we would know?
The one that I'm that will remain with me the longest was a hand I played against Carlos Mortensen, who won the championship. I think it was 3 years, four or 5 years ago. The first day I sat down for the championship event, the two world-class players took the seats to my immediate left. Alan Gehring, who's been at the final table and has won many other championships, and Carlos Mortensen. And that was not a good development for me, because having tough players on your left is very difficult. And I actually went over to Phil Gordon, who was sitting down at a nearby table to get prepared to start the event, and I asked him for a little postgraduate advice on how to handle the situation. He gave me excellent advice on how to handle it. But I planned to stay away from both of them as much as possible unless I had a very strong hand, because I knew that I was going to be outplayed. And I got into a situation where I was the last one to act. I was in what's called on the button for your listeners who don't play. That just means you act after everyone else does in that hand. And therefore, they had to act before me. It was the only time when the player on your immediate left has to act before you. And that gives you an advantage, because you get to see what they're going to do first. So it came around to me, and I looked at my cards, and I had a pair of nines, which is a good starting hand when everyone else has folded. And I made a normal raise of three times the amount of the antes. And not surprisingly to me, Mortensen called. Because when you're as good as Carlos Mortensen is, it doesn't matter whether your opponent is to the left or the right. You expect to outplay them no matter where they're sitting. And I knew that, and he knew that. And the flop came out, and it was a good flop for me. It was three low cards. He checked, and I made a sizable bet. I wanted him to know I had a hand. I didn't want him to keep playing in this hand unless if he didn't have something good. And he called. Now, that made me nervous. The next card came out, and it was another low card. And it was a dangerous card for me, because the board now had 8-7-5-4. And if he had a six in his hand, he had a straight. And being the great player he is, he knew that was a scary card for me. And he bet all his chips, and he had more than I did. And he put me to an excruciatingly difficult decision. And it was the first time I've been in that situation with a very, very tough decision against a world-class player. And I was very proud of the decision that I made. It was the right decision. I called. He tapped the table and said, good call. He turned over his cards. He had a straight draw, but he didn't have the straight. Now, I still had to survive the last card. He didn't make that move without outs, as they're called, and he had six cards to catch that could have beat me, actually eight. No, only six, only six. And fortunately for me, none of those six cards came, and I doubled up my chips at his expense. And that was the most challenging moment I had in the entire 2 weeks I was out there, and I was very pleased that I made the right decision. And once you make the right decision, you can't worry about what the cards do to you on the next...
Right. The cards are going to fall the way they're going to fall, and you can only play your poker as best you can possibly play it as you go along. Unfortunately, I, having been in situations like that, not against Carlos Mortensen or any of these greats, I know that sometimes you then go to bed that night after being knocked out of the tournament or even having a great day at the tournament. You then are thinking about it, and you end up having sleepless nights. Did you have to endure that a little bit?
Yes, but not as much as in the old days. I have to tell you, Paul, one of the great things about the new technology and the internet, that happened to me in one of the earlier events that I played, where I went all in with a pair of queens against a player who had ace king, and I correctly deduced that he did not have me beat before the flop, that I had the best hand, and so I called his bet and I was all in. And he caught an ace on the river to beat me, and I second-guessed myself for the next few hours. But I had the opportunity to post on the Internet. I went to my room, plugged in my computer, and posted the situation on the Internet and got immediate feedback from a whole range of better players than me. I was able to go back down to the poker room and visit with some of the top pros. Eric Seidel, I talked with. Talked with Chris Ferguson. I talked with my friend Russell Rosenblum. And we critiqued the hand together. And when all of them told me that I played it correctly, and it gave me great comfort, and I was still very upset and disappointed to be knocked out. If I win that pot, I'm in very, very good shape for the rest of the tournament of that event. But once I knew I'd made the correct play, it made it easier to get to sleep.
You know what's fascinating as I'm listening to you talking about this? As I said, I'm a poker player, and so I know what you're talking about. 5 years ago, I would never have had you on to have this discussion on the air because most people wouldn't have any idea what we were talking about and what some of these terms were that you were using. But now poker is so ubiquitous on television and so many people are playing it online that I feel comfortable that we can have this. But I do want to finish with one question. At any point while you were there in the World Series of Poker, did you see the guy with the Elmo head?
I did, and I was at his table, and we all joked about how scared we were to take on Elmo, because while we didn't fear the player, we understood the magic of Elmo, and we didn't want to get tangled with Elmo and let out a big hand, and we all played off of that and tried to use it to get a better read on this guy. But you saw a lot of weird things at the table.
I bet you did, yeah. And in case anybody thinks we're kidding, when you watch the ESPN coverage of this guy will certainly be on there because he had it. There wasn't a mask; it was a full head, right?
That's right.
Unbelievable. You can read more of Ken's adventures of the World Series of Poker at cbsnews.com. I thank you very much for your time today, and I wish you better luck next year.
Thank you, Paul. Good talking with you.
Ken Adams here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.